to see Mrs. Lassley here today, as you know, and I thank the Lord. She didn't remember me. Most people try to forget me anyway, but I remember her well, and with her and Brother Lassley. I was thinking of our brother who is going into the highway patrol. That takes me back in my mind, oh, good 50 years ago, when I had my first church. It was up in the mountains in California and along the coast in the mountains, and I had a missionary nurse that was staying with us for a few days, and I got this phone call from a wonderful couple, Aunt Elma, Uncle Jerry. They lived on a ranch, taking care of a ranch, and Uncle Jerry called, that's what we called him. He said, Aunt Elma's pray for her, she's having some problems. Well, I know these people were not complainers, so I said to the nurse, we better drive over there. So we went over there. When he came to the door, it was obvious he was having a heart attack. And she had taken the wrong medicine. And the hospital was 35 miles away. So I said to the nurse, we better just put him in the van here and just take him on in. Well, I went down that highway, 11 o'clock at night, going about 92, 93 mile an hour. And guess what happened? Highway patrolman pulled me over. I did the stupidest thing. Do not do this. I was just a kid back in those days. I jumped out of the car, reached for my billfold. He thought I was reaching for a gun. And he said, if you move your hand, you're dead. I said, I didn't move my hand. I didn't move anything. And then I told him what happened. He come to the car. I said, I got to get these people to the hospital. I think he's dying on me. And I said, can you lead us in? He said, no, that's only on the movies. So he said, but I'll go ahead of you, and I'll make sure everything's clear for you. And the doctor said if we'd have waited 20 more minutes, he would have been with the Lord. So God was good. I'm glad I didn't get shot. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis once again, about third message on Joseph. When you come to the 40th chapter, I would suggest to you that you might entitle this, How to Respond to Unfair and Harsh Treatment. When I think here, the 40th chapter, if you remember in that 39th chapter, he is placed in prison. And I want you to notice how he responded and why he responded to it. This is the third time. If you remember, I said to you in chapter 39 in verse 2, that phrase, and the Lord was with Joseph. In times of triumph, the Lord's with him. You know, it's easy to quote Romans 8:28 when everything's going your direction. All things work together for good, praise God. Then the second time is when he was tempted by that Potiphar's wife. And he'll be with you in times of trouble, in times of temptation, that is, in times of triumph. But now, in times of trials, and you find the third time in verse 23 of chapter 39, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. Now get this, why did he respond the way he did? Because he was dedicated to the Lord. Let me make sure you understand something. The Lord was with him, and the Lord is with you and me as long as we're with the Lord. You're not going to lose your salvation. Hallelujah for that. But if you don't sense the presence of God in your life, there is something wrong. The Lord will be with you in his presence if you're with him. And so we find here, because he was dedicated to the Lord. The Lord was with him because he was with the Lord. Keep in mind, and he did not allow his afflictions to defeat him. Now keep in mind, that 39th chapter were untrue accusations. If you look at chapter 39 again, and just go back in your mind a few moments, you'll realize there in verse 17 and 18, and verse 17, and she spoke unto him according to his words, saying, the Hebrew servant was brought unto us, coming to mock me. And verse 18, as I came to pass, I lift up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me. And I'm going to tell you something. Her cry was not one of rape. It was one of rage. Because Joseph would not give in to what she wanted him to do. And so there was untrue accusations. You ever had untrue accusations? You're going to have them sometimes. Undeserved treatment. He is cast in prison. He become a prisoner. Now think with me. Undeserved treatment. Potiphar. Look at verse 2 of chapter 39. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper. And he said, Potiphar got rich because of Joseph. And now he throws him in prison. Now let me say this to you. He may have become a prisoner in a cell, while Potiphar became a prisoner in his soul. He knew that he was not guilty. Matter of fact, he was the chief executioner. He was the guy with a snap of his fingers would decide who would live and who would die. But for some reason, he said, I'm not going to execute Joseph. Now, I believe that was God's protection, God's sovereignty. But I believe also in his mind, he knew his wife was a real problem. And so he was dedicated to the Lord. He just didn't allow afflictions to defeat him, and he did not allow difficult paths to dominate him. His present decision, now let's keep that in mind, when you're going through something, do not allow the difficult past to dominate the present. So many of God's people are living in the past. Let me say to this, get over it. Get over it. Move on. His present decision, and a lot of people are controlled by their past in such a way that every decision they make is determined because of, and that happens when you have bitterness, anger, or jealousy. Those decisions you're making today are guided by what you do and how you react in the past. But keep in mind, difficult past, he went from a place of prominence over there in chapter 39, to a place of pain. Look with me. Leave that for just a moment. Go over to Psalm 105 with me. I think it's important to look at that for a moment in Psalm 105. And look there with me in verse 17 and verse 18. Verse 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. So he went from a place of prominence to a place of pain. He went from a place of comfort to a place of great cruelty in his life. And his decisions were not based on what he did in the what happened to him in the past. Another reference I want you to turn, go to the New Testament, all the way to the New Testament, and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a key verse. I do want you to get this. Now, keep in mind, he didn't allow afflictions to defeat him because he was with the Lord, and the Lord was with him, and he was with the Lord. He did not allow difficult paths. He said, now listen, look how I've been treated. He didn't do that. Now, I want you to see something in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. That's a key verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and he's going to make three statements. Number one, be settled. The word settled here means to be firm in what you believe. Be firm in what you believe. Joseph was firm in what he believed. He said, I'm here. I'm not going to let these difficult things. I'm not going to change my beliefs. I don't know how many people down through the years who once were strong in their faith and all of a sudden they doubted everything they believed. God help us. He was firm in what he believed and he was unfaithful. He was faithful in what he did. Notice the second word. Unmovable. That word unmovable means, let me tell you what it means. Two words. Don't quit. That's what it means. Unmovable. I'm gonna keep doing exactly what I've been doing all along. We're going to have visitation in this church on Saturday. Hallelujah. And if you need to be there. You know why? This is your church. Anybody not going to be here? Let me see your hands. You need to be here. You need to support it. Listen, don't quit because of difficult situation. It means, first, to be firm in what you believe. That's the word steadfast. It means to be faithful in what you do. Don't quit. And thirdly, it means to focus on him while you're doing what you're doing. Focus on him. You're not going to go out visiting for you. You're going to do it for him. You're going to do it for him because this is his church. Look at the last statement. Always the word abound. You know what that word abound means? The above the ordinary. We need the people of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to do above the ordinary in this particular time. And so we realize these things. Now, listen to me. He was dedicated because he didn't allow afflictions to defeat him. He was dedicated because he did not allow this difficult past to dominate him. And he did not allow his circumstances to discourage him. Think with me for a moment of that. I want you to underline this verse. One reason why. Turn to Psalm 118. You say, preacher, you're having us all over the Bible. Well, hallelujah. That means you should bring it. Some of the greatest music I love to hear is the turning of pages in your Bible. Amen. Now, would you get this verse, Psalm 118, verse 24? That should be highlighted into your Bible. Listen, again, he did not allow his circumstances to discourage him. Verse 24, this is what? This is the day the Lord has made. We will, doesn't say, listen, we will. You know what that is? That's a command. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, how many have ever talked back to yourself?
I do it all the time. My wife talks back to me too, but don't you? She's listening. Don't. All right.
But listen to me. You know why? Because if you, not your circumstances, it gets you so low that you could spit on the ground and slide into the door. Don't do that. Rejoice. And this is the day the Lord has made. And when you begin to rejoice in the Lord, it will change your focus and get your minds off. Now, we got too many of God's people that are having pity parties. You know the problem with a pity party? You're the only one invited. You're the only one there. No one else is going to show up. Not going to be much of a party. And so we recognize that truth there. Now, notice secondly, he was not only dedicated to the Lord. He was dedicated because the Lord was dedicated to him. He said, I need the Lord in my life. He was determined to do his duty. Now, I want you to go back to our passage over there in Genesis 40. He was not only dedicated to the Lord, because the Lord was dedicated to him, he was determined to do his duty. He served. Here's three things I want you to think about. He served continually. Now let's begin to read in chapter 40. And let's look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against these two officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard into prison, a place where Joseph was bound. Now that's the sovereignty of God. That's the providence of God. He's going to make a connection here. And then I want you to verse 4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Get these words. He served them, and they continued in a season in ward. He served them continually. He was determined to do his duty. You just don't quit. I've already said that. You just don't quit. Continue to do the duty. There was a lot of things in my ministry I didn't want to do. But it was my duty. And I have to be honest with you. Maybe you're more spiritual than me. There are times, am I on? I didn't put the mic on again, did I? Pray for this old man, would you? And they tell me all the time what to do with it. You need to just put it around my neck. No, don't do that. Now listen to me. Serve, don't quit. Don't quit. Say it with me, don't quit. Now that word quit, maybe you ought to take a dictionary and cut that word out of your dictionary. Don't let that be part of your vocabulary. Don't quit. He served. There's two times when you ought to pray. You know that? When you feel like it, and guess what? When you don't feel like it. Sometimes I'll go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll be honest, I just say, Lord, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, I can almost sense the Holy Spirit just releasing himself within me. And all of a sudden, when I walk away from prayer, I'm praising God. I'm praising God. So he served continually. There's another thing. He kept singing. Look there. I want you to go all the way down to verse 6. And Joseph came unto them in the morning. That's the butler and the baker. He looked upon them. Behold, they were what? Sad. And this verse here in verse 7 is, you ought to meditate on that verse. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the will of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore do you look so sad today? Why are you down in the dumps? Now listen to me. Humanly speaking, if there's anybody who should have been down, it would have been Joseph. But he's got a song in his heart. He's got a song in his heart. I think of, if you'll leave that portion again and go all the way to New Testament again and go to the book of Philippians for just a moment, and I want to share something with you over there about all this. In Philippians chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me. And I want you to see this. So he not only continued to serve, but he kept singing. He had a song in his heart. And he says to them, why are you two fellows so sad? Can you not see Joseph bouncing into the room with joy? By the way, joy is contagious. And so is discouragement. You know, there's some people in my ministry, I've often been afraid to ask how you're doing. I don't have 2 hours. That's what it's going to take to listen to what they got to tell me. But I look over here, and I want you to get these three thoughts here this morning. Keep on singing. Notice here, look at verse 4. Rejoice when? In the Lord, what? There it is. Now, it didn't say in your problems. It didn't say in society, it said in the Lord. And how often? Always. Now who wrote this? Apostle Paul. Where is Paul when he wrote Philippians? He's in prison. Now this is not one where they have colored TVs and the fancy meals. I mean, it's a dungeon. And rejoice in the Lord. And then look at verse 5. It's an interesting verse. So after he tells us, rejoice in the Lord, in other words, that's what Joseph. Notice here in verse 5, let your moderation be known to the men. Now get this, the Lord is at hand. In other words, remain under his control. He says, let your request be known. Oh, by the way, I just want you to know something. He's right in the midst of everything that happens to you. Everything in your life, our Lord is in the midst of it. You believe that today? He's in the midst of it. He knows what's going on. And so remain under control. And thirdly, as I see here in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord, remain under control. Verse 5, then respond biblically. You know, it's sometimes hard to respond biblically. We better just do it anyway. Look at verse 5, verse 6. You know the verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, let me say, that says three things. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and be thankful for all things. That's it. Worry about nothing. I hear you dealt with worry in my class this morning. I thank you for that. Pray about everything. Be thankful for all things. I remember when I was first saved, and I had a family, and I had my wife, and so forth, and I'm in college trying to train for the ministry and boy, you know, I had a lot on my plate. And I began to worry. Matter of fact, I would wake up at night thinking of things, how am I going to get through this there was more month left over than the paycheck. So I went to college. How am I going to do this, Lord? A couple times I'd forget what I was worrying about, and then I was worried about what I forgot to worry about. How many have been there? I forgot. Oh, listen, Lord. Therefore, after a while, I'd put a notepad there. So when I think about it, I'd write it down. That's called the doctrine of stupidity. How dumb can you get? And I say, I'm pretty dumb. And so we see. Now go back to here, if you will. So go back to our passage there in Genesis. Look there in verse 8. Now keep in mind this. So what do you do? Serve continually. I don't care what's going on in your life. Don't give up. You're teaching a class, don't give up. You're singing in the choir, don't give up. You're in the nursery, don't give up. You're a greeter, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Say it with me. Don't give up. No, I'm not going on until you say it. Don't give up. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Don't give up. Keep singing. Stay focused. Very interesting. Verse 8. They said unto him, the butler and the baker said unto him, the butler did, we have dreamed a dream. There's no interpreter. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong unto God? Tell me then, I pray you. Now, you got to stop and think that one for a moment. This man will give three sets of dreams. The first to his family. Dreams? Hey, listen. I'm not going to do that anymore. God called him to give dreams. Now, he didn't call you to give dreams. I said this a couple weeks ago. We don't have prophets today. The church is a nonprofit organization. Both ways. But whatever gift God has, you use it. Yeah, but I can see some people will say, listen, Joseph, I can hear some people in our church today, they wouldn't react. Joseph said, oh, yes, dreams. That's my gift. That's what God wants me to do. That's what God's called me to do. And he stayed focused. You tell me what your dream is. Some of us say, no, don't tell me your dream. I did that one time, and I wound up in a pit, wound up in Potiphar's house, and now I'm in prison all because I did what I was supposed to do. Well, hello. You haven't read the last chapter yet. God was going to do something in Joseph's life, was going to make him a greater man than ever been before. Stay focused. Now, I know your church is going through some issues. Stay focused. Stay focused. Say those words with me. Stay focused. 1, 2, 3.
Stay focused.
All right. Stay focused. You got a ministry? Don't give up. You win the buses? Don't give it up. Don't quit. Stay focused. You're doing it for. That's the gift God gave you to do. I'm here today for two reasons. Number one, God called me to be here. But secondly, my ministry is do interims now. I got to stay focused. Now, my body would rather be home because it's getting old. I'm not old as Brother Lastly. I'm only in my 30s or 40s, but anyway. But I'm not what I used to be. But I'm going to do it as long. You know why? Because God's called me to do that. And whatever God has called you to do, you do what God. This man has done 54 interims. Plus, he's a professor at Ambassador Baptist College. You know why he's done, when he did 50, he didn't say, oh, I've done 50, that's enough. You know why? Because God wanted to do more. So he's done 54. Somebody told me one time, how many years you been? I said, well, this September I'll be in the ministry 50 years. Oh, you're going to give it up? No, I don't think so. I'm going to do something for the Lord, for his glory. Nothing else, give people trouble. Do what I can do. Now think with me. How did he respond with this unfair treatment, being falsely accused, going through this difficult time? Circumstances, and he just did his duty. And I want you to notice something here. I want you to get these four words, because finally, he not only was dedicated to the Lord, because the Lord was dedicated to him. He said, boy, God's been so good to me. I tell you, we need to start saying to ourselves more often, God is good to me. God is good to me. God is good to me. Some of you don't believe that, do you? All right. He was determined to do his duty. Now get this. He displayed four essential qualities we all need. Four of them. Now you ready for this? The first one, you're going to say, preacher, you got problems. No, I don't. Four words all start with H. Hurt. H-U-R-T. He's been hurt. He's been greatly hurt. You know what? How many know the author A.W. Tozer? He's one of my favorite. A.W. Tozer said this, it is doubtful whether God can fully use a person until he has been deeply hurt. Because God wants to do something. You realize what would happen if you didn't go through trials? Everything in your life just was smooth. You would be a brat spiritually. You know what a brat is, don't you? That's the benefactor of relaxed adult training. And I want you to know today, your God is not a brat, raising brats. So he's going to do whatever it takes in your life to make you what you ought to be. And so sometimes he has to hurt us. Oh, I've been hurt. And God did it. He allowed it to happen. Go with me again to the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 1. Here it is, right here. If you say, preacher, you say, one of them is one of the qualities we need. Oh, yeah, it's in the Bible, folks. He'll make a statement here. And I want you to get it. Go and say three things in verse 7. First, that the trial of your faith be more precious than of gold. First of all, trials will deepen your faith. They'll deepen it. You know what is the most valuable asset you have? It's not your billfold. It's not your bank account. It's not your house. It's not even your spouse. It is. They're valuable. But your faith. Your faith. And God is working constantly to deepen that faith. And I don't understand at times what he's doing, but God is deepening my faith. I just know that's his goal, to deepen my faith. Secondly, in this text, to deliver us from our flesh. Look here. More precious than of gold that perisheth be tried with fire. You know why God put you through the through the fires of life, the fires of testing? Because he wants to kill some things and he wants to burn. Listen, God again wants to burn up that pride, jealousy, anger, bitterness. There are Christians that serve in our churches today that have so much bitterness. If they would just simply, God's putting you through what you're going through so he can burn that out of your life and destroy it as it serves in the flesh. And I'll tell you this, you're never going to go through a trial that's going to destroy you. Just those things that are bad in your life. Jealousy, anger. I think maybe Joseph could have easily developed some pride. I mean, look at the gift that God gave him. Heck, he could have walked around asking people maybe to pat. He said, have you pat me on the back, but my hand's in the way. God gave him a tremendous gift. God had to maybe deal with his pride. I'm not sure. I have to worry about John Stephen, but let me tell you this. God has his eyes on the thermometer and his hand on the thermostat. And he knows how much you can take, and he will make it to where it will destroy you, but it will burn up those things that need to be burned up in your life. That's the first word. Not only to deepen our faith, develop us from our flesh, or deliver us from our flesh, but get this, to direct our attention to his coming. Look at the rest of that verse. Be tried with fire, be found to praise and honor what? And glory at what? The appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, when I'm going to be honest with you, maybe you don't have that problem. When everything's going my way, I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard to focus on the coming of Christ. Anyone here besides me feel that way? When you're going through trial, it's even so come, Lord Jesus. That's not bad. God wants to get our focus on him. So not only to deepen our faith, to deliver us from our flesh, but to direct our attention to his coming. The Lord's coming back. I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about that. Second word, as we close here this morning, humility. Humility. You won't find in the text a more humble person than Joseph. He is humble. Humility is there. Years ago, the well-known Muhammad Ali, the boxer, was on an airplane. And as the plane was ready to take off, the stewardess said, sir, you need to buckle your seatbelt. He said, Superman don't need no buckle. And she said, and Superman don't need any plane either. So either buckle up or get off. I like that, don't you? Either buckle up or get off the plane. But either way, you're going to buckle up. But Superman may not need a plane, but for some reason you do. Full of pride. Humility is constantly seen in this fellow, in all that we've seen thus far. The one word that stands out, two words, is humility and hurt. Honesty, that's the third word. Isn't it interesting? He gives three sets of dreams. The first set to his parents and his brothers. Did they like it? No. You read it over there in chapter 37. The brothers hated him. You know why? Because he was honest. He was honest. He just told the truth. You go to this chapter, chapter 40. He tells the baker or butler what's going to happen. He's going to be restored. He's excited. Then along comes the baker. He says, boy, he interpreted one for him. I wonder if he'll do that for me. And he tells him the truth. You're going to hang. He was honest. That is a third. Listen, honesty comes out of the Word of God. Definitely not out of Washington. And we need to be honest people. People of integrity. And the fourth word. So the first one is what? Hurt. Second one is what? Humility. Third word, honesty. And here's the fourth word, holiness. Holiness. Now let me say this. Where does holiness come from? Glad you asked me. Turn to chapter 41 for just a moment. This is, now we'll go back there later and look at this chapter. But if you'll just focus for just a moment over there in verse 38, when Pharaoh, Joseph interpreted his dreams. Pharaoh, and look at verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such as one as this, as a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, where does holiness come from? The Holy Spirit. Someone says, well, I thought it came from the Bible. Who wrote the Bible? Hello? Holy Spirit. He indwells you, and he wrote this book. And so holiness comes from him. Now, not only where holiness comes from, but notice what holiness does. Go down to verse 41 and 42. And Pharaoh said, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring and put from his hand and put it upon Joseph. In that time, a ring was a symbol of authority. Now listen to me. You want to win someone to Christ, you can do so only if you have the spiritual ring on where you're under his authority. God will give you authority. Listen, the reason why America is in the trouble that it is today, I'll begin with Brother Lastly, is the churches have lost his authority. They've lost their authority. No one wants to listen to the church anymore. They won't do that. After all, you're a bunch of fanatics. But years ago, when you were pastoring and I was pastoring, people listened because the church spoke. We need to get the ring back on. The authority that is so desperately needed. This church has a great amount of authority from God. And God wants to do something. So where does it holiness come from? The Holy Spirit. Where now what does holiness does? It gives you authority. And note why holiness is needed. Very interesting. If you go down here in verse 45, and Pharaoh changes his name. Pharaoh calls Joseph Paneth, Zephaniah Paneth. Isn't that an interesting word? You know what that name means? The God who lives and speaks. That's what that name means. The God who lives and speaks. And when we become holy people, God speaks. Listen, God speaks through this book. Amen. God speaks through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he speaks to the Christian. He speaks through God's people to a lost world. That's why you need the holiness of God. So they'll listen to you. I remember so many times. I remember a young man, as I closed this morning, a young man, his wife, we were at a restaurant, and my wife and I went to a restaurant, and we enjoyed that meal. Someone had given us a gift certificate, went there to eat, had a great time. We noticed this waitress kept looking at us. And that was Saturday. Sunday morning, she shows up at church. She walks the aisle. She gets saved. She said, "I observed you two in this. I didn't think Christians could have fun." Isn't that a tragedy? We don't need to look like, act like, be like we've been baptized in lemon juice. She said, and she got saved. And I said, "What about your husband, Bill?" She said, "Bill wants nothing to do with God." I said, "Well, I'll go." She said, "He sees you coming. He won't talk to you." I said, "Well, I'll tell him I'm coming out on Friday." And then I showed up on Thursday. I remember, and he stood there, and I said, "Bill, we'd love to have you at church." Talked to him a little bit, and he said, "I don't believe in that stuff." And I said, "Well, Bill, I'm going to pray." "Well, you pray all you want. I'm not even closing my eyes." And I prayed the Romans Road. I just prayed his need of salvation. I left, and he got mad at his wife because he thought I was showing on Friday. He'd get out of Dodge, as the saying goes. A week later, on my own, I went back, and she said, "He's hiding down there by the river. He saw you coming." So I went down by the river. River, by the way, is a good sound system. God has a message for you. You need to be saved. And I read I prayed the Romans Road. This was on a Friday. Sunday morning, Bill shows up, looked me in the eye, and he said, "I've had it. I've had it with you. What do I need to do to get saved?" Now that was God, not John Stevens. Authority with the ring, with the Holy Ghost, being used of God. "He that liveth and speaketh spoke to him and he got saved." We need that authority back. We need that power back today. And so today, as we close this service, I say to you, let God use us. Listen to me. What are the one of these four? Are they all there in your life? Let's stand and bow our heads in prayer. And let's go to the Lord this morning. Maybe this morning you need to find this place at altar, dear Christian. Say, "God spoke to my heart. I've been focusing on me. I've been focusing on the problems." Listen to me. Continue to serve. Continue to serve God. Keep singing. Stay focused. Are any of these four a problem with you this morning? They're not you this morning. Pride is there. God has got God is putting you through the fire to remove maybe some anger, some bitterness, whatever it may be. As we sing this song in a moment, once you find a place at the altar, say, "Dear God, God spoke to my heart. I want to listen." We need to get the authority back in our churches across America. If you're here, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, God brought you here. You know why he brought you here? No, a friend of mine invited me here, but God used that friend to bring you here. The God that speaketh, and you hear. If You're here without Jesus Christ. I'd like to meet you down here and personally have someone show you how to be saved, be born again in the family of God and be saved. God's speaking to you this morning. You need to be saved. You just let me know. I'll be here to help you. If you need to find a place at the altar, say, God, use this sermon in my life. I'm coming now. And God is using that in my life. Would you just come as we sing? Go ahead.
Oh, soul, are you weary?
You need to come and to that
troubled
altar this morning. You need to be saved
no
this morning.
Light in the darkness you see.
What is it that God is doing
there's
in your life this morning?
Look at the Savior.
All four of these hurt.
More
you thank God because He's trying
free
to do something with your faith. Humility.
Turn your
would you
eyes
say, God's dealing with me, but I'm just not going to take care of it today. That's pride. Maybe there's some bitterness that needs to be burned up. Some jealousy. Some anger. Maybe today. There's some honesty. You haven't been honest with God about your life. Come this morning, get honest with God. What about holiness? Are people seeing the holy life that you're supposed to live? Some are here at the altar. We're going to sing another stanza. You need to come. Just leave your seat. Let God be God.
His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe Him and all will be.
This is a great church. God wants to use you, but there may be some hindrances. You need to come and leave at this altar. Or you're here and you don't know Christ. Oh, get saved. Would you come this morning? Turn your eyes and get your eyes off of yourself. Turn it on Him this morning.
Jesus, look full
in His wonderful face. Up here for a moment before we close. I want you to be back tonight. I know I've got some folks here that would be very difficult to come back tonight, or some are not here because of health reason. But you need to be here unless you're working, you're sick, and you just need to be here tonight. God wants to do some things here in our services. We need to take serious Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. For every member of this church, except those who can't make it. Some are working. When this brother goes, he'll be a highway patrolman. I'm glad we got hot policemen out there right now helping us out. Good to have Dr. Joel Spencer. He's my friend. We've been friends for a number of years. Now, he's going to come and close in prayer. And I'm sorry to say, he's from California. And he will remind you that I was out there for 26 years myself. But anyway, he's a Californian that got converted. And thank the Lord for him. He's been my friend, and he'll be meeting as well with the deacons this afternoon. Brother, would you close our service in prayer? And I promise you this. I'm going to try to find that microphone that we're at tonight.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the tremendous message. Lord, it reminded me how often preachers have likened Joseph to our Lord Jesus. What a great testimony Joseph has, even to this day. We look forward one day to seeing him. And Father, I pray for the church family, this transition, as I've had the privilege of sharing with some of the deacons, will produce some of the greatest days ahead for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But now, Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon the people of God. Protect them and provide for them. Lord, help them not to just be in neutral, but as Brother Stephen said, thrive. They'll look back and they'll give you praise and thank you for what you were doing in this church during this transition. Until then, Lord, help each one of us to do our part. For your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen.